Drinking with a Fork.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gao. There's an old Chinese proverb about the folly of making hasty decisions. A fool in a hurry drinks tea with a fork. Because I'm wondering why Paulson and Bernanke, the bailout dream team, are in such a hurry to get their plan through Congress. I know they want to stabilize the markets and prevent economic collapse, but I also know that a lot of people hate the idea of bailing out the financial industry, and they want Congress to think very carefully before proceeding. Paulson and Bernanke are back on Capitol Hill today, and we'll see how things go. One person who is counting on a bailout is Warren Buffett. Yesterday, Buffett bought $5 billion worth of stock in Goldman Sachs, and he has an option for another five. He said he wouldn't have done that if he didn't think the government would act. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
I was sitting in my office in Washington, listening to Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke talk about how so many banking investments with real value were selling for fire sale prices. I kept wondering, if this guy's right, and that's true, where are all the savvy investors? Where's Warren Buffett?
Well, obviously, we know now.
Hugh Johnson runs Johnson Illington Advisors.
You know, it's a buyer's market, and this pretty clearly indicates it's a buyer's market. He got very good terms, and at the same time, it's a good deal for Goldman. So from a psychological point of view, it tends to boost confidence. I think you'll see a good market today largely because of what he's done.
When it comes to investing, Warren Buffett looks for bargains, and the fact that he sees them now on Wall Street could give others the courage they need to jump back in. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
So far this morning, some minor gains on Wall Street. The Dow is up 36 points to 10,891. The NASDAQ has gained 11, and the S&P 500 is up 2. In Asia, the markets closed a fraction higher. European shares are a fraction lower so far. The Treasury Department will auction off $34 billion worth of two-year T-notes today. Treasuries are usually considered a safe place to stash your money. But with this monster bailout ahead, are T-notes really going to be a safe investment? Jeremy Hobson looks into that.
Investors rely on government bonds to generate a small profit without much risk. But today, it's the government that's relying on investors to finance its bailout plan, says Jim Bianco of Bianco Research.
They need to get $700 billion to fund this. They're not raising taxes to do it. They're going to borrow the money, and they're going to borrow the money in the Treasury market.
Bianco says foreign buyers may be more hesitant to buy Treasuries now because of increasing worries about a drop in the value of the dollar. TJ Marta is a fixed income strategist at RBC Capital Markets. He says investors are also worried about the government stumbling down the road.
There's a significantly greater default risk priced into U.S. Treasuries than for any of the other G7 countries, so that's one worry. The other worry is the prospect that the U.S. government is going to have to inflate its way out of this debt.
The Treasury Department will auction off another $24 billion in five-year notes tomorrow. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, September 24th on Marketplace.org. As I said before, Bernanke and Paulson are back on Capitol Hill today, continuing their bailout sell to Congress. But the Fed chairman will slip into a side meeting while he's there. He's briefing a congressional committee about where he thinks the economy is going. Here's John Dimsdale.
Judging from Chairman Bernanke's comments before the Senate Banking Committee yesterday, he's kind of worried about the economy.
The financial markets are in quite fragile condition. Credit is not being provided. This will be a major drag on the U.S. economy and will greatly impede the ability of the economy to recover in a healthy way.
But while he's urging fast action on the rescue plan, the Federal Reserve chairman has to be careful just how dire his economic forecast is, says former Fed Governor Lyle Gramley.
He certainly wants to impress upon them the need for going ahead with his program quickly so that we can shore up confidence in financial markets. On the other hand, he doesn't want to scare financial markets so badly that more disruption occurs.
Gramley says Bernanke has to press Congress on the urgency of a bailout without further undermining bank confidence that loans will be repaid. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown heads to New York today to attend the big United Nations meeting. He better be ready for a hard sell from the Bush administration on this Wall Street mess. Stephen Beard has more from London.
The U.S. Treasury has urged governments around the world to launch their own bailouts, and the British Prime Minister is the foreign leader who would seem most likely to respond. Restoring calm to financial markets is an urgent necessity here, especially for Prime Minister Brown. He's fighting for his political survival. This week, at his annual party conference, he staved off, for the time being, a threat to his leadership. He posed as the only man who can lead the country out of economic trouble. But fund manager Justin Urquhart Stewart says it's highly unlikely that Brown will launch a British bailout.
The British government's finances are in, not unlike America, not a very good state at the moment, with heavy deficits. And he's just come from a party conference where I think you'd find it very difficult to actually say he's going to be putting in money to go and bail out the bankers.
And after all, he says, many big British banks like Barclays and the Royal Bank of Scotland could be eligible for help under the American scheme. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There are a lot of countries out there who don't think a government bailout is a good idea. One of those countries might even give the U.S. a run for its money in free market thinking. I'll give you a hint. It's a country very, very close by. Here's commentator Will Wilkinson.
Want to dodge the draft or smoke a joint without fear of life in the clink? Where do you go? Canada. The frosty land of curling and Celine Dion has long been a destination for Americans fleeing the puritanical warmongering excesses of the United States. And now, according to a new study, our hockey-loving, socialized, healthcare-having neighbors to the north have surpassed the U.S. in its degree of economic freedom. Not only can Canadians more accurately pronounce laissez-faire, they have more of it. And that was before the U.S. government nationalized half our mortgage industry and bought the world's largest insurance company. In last year's Economic Freedom of the World Index, published by an international consortium of think tanks, including my employer, Canada and the U.S., the so-called land of the free, were running neck and neck. But in this year's study, which tracks things like the size of government, burden of economic regulation, and free trade, Canada squeaked out a tiny advantage. It ranked 7th compared to 8th place for the U.S. Strictly speaking, it's a statistical tie. But if the U.S. doesn't have the freest economy in North America, much less the world, what do freedom-loving Americans have to keep us from running for the border? Economic freedom isn't everything, right? The U.S. does more to protect free speech and the right to bear arms and self-defense. And Canadian medical socialism surely benefits from the fact that most Canadians are only a short drive from the slightly more market-based American system. But if the United States of warrantless wiretaps, secret courts, militarized drug busts, and mass minority imprisonment is not clearly more economically free than Canada, then it probably has no claim to being a freer country overall. And now the U.S. government is about to commit hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars to bail out financiers who made a series of terrible decisions, in effect socializing just the downside of financial risk. America's revolutionary founders pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor for this? Vancouver's not that cold, you know.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. You know who we haven't talked to in a while?
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Mr. Sloan's been a little busy covering Wall Street, but I finally caught up with him at home. I was dying to hear his reaction to this $700 billion bailout plan.
I was outraged, and I said, are they crazy? Have they lost their minds? That they're going to buy $700 billion of stuff from banks, undoubtedly paying more than the market price, because otherwise the banks have no reason to sell to them.
Yeah.
And this is somehow going to get banks to lend again. I mean, this sounded to me like the biggest trickle-down theory in history, and it made absolutely no sense. Here are we, the taxpayers, and we're supposed to end up with this garbage to help the banks, and nowhere was there any mention of us, the taxpayers, having any upside or any stake in the banks.
But if the government buys up this bad debt, and then later it increases in value and the government sells it, won't taxpayers benefit?
Well, they would, but I think the odds of that are vanishingly small. And my feeling is there are endless things that no one is using. There's this special borrowing mechanism the Fed set up where you could bring your garbagey assets, borrow against them at a rate that's now 2.5%, and that way you would have plenty of money. So what I was wondering is how come very few institutions, and maybe none, are borrowing at the Fed and borrowing money that way and using that money to roll over their short-term loans?
All right, but now that we're in this situation, instead of buying up bad mortgages, what would you have Congress do if there is going to be a bailout?
Instead of buying these assets at too much money and being stuck with them, what we can do as taxpayers is put money into the banks, invest in their stock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these banks all need new capital. Let's buy the capital, and that way we have an upside. I'd much rather, as a taxpayer, have a piece of the upside than these assets.
Alan, you've been covering Wall Street for a long time. How does this situation compare to previous times where we've had calamity, like the SNL debacle, for example?
I have never, ever seen anything like this. Never. And I've been doing this for 40 years. I have never seen such disruption and disaster and potential for even more disaster. I suspect that things were like this just before the Great Depression, though I don't think a Great Depression is coming. But I was not alive to see that lead up, so I can't say from personal experience.
All right, we'll check back with you in a few days, Alan. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.